Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 25th of January, recording at 6:22 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Earlier than usual, but a daughter's birthday this evening, or today. And first, the highlights in here. Well, among the Asian stock markets, Japan was a little disappointing because it gave up gains that we had seen earlier in the session. But there was a stunning performance by Thailand in here today, and India, which has remained resolutely strong despite all the efforts to talk it down by people who want to buy India lower. The ability to hold up against that background tells us something about supply and demand, doesn't it? India hit a new high in here today. I think those are the main Asian highlights. European stock markets were really quite firm in here today, very firm in here today, so I'm mighty relieved that I covered those hedge short positions yesterday. DAX is one of the big winners today, up 1.74%. UK 1.25%. They're mostly over 1%. Clear exception on all this is the Swiss market index, which closed down a small fraction. But there are, now there's a really important reason for this actually taking place, and that is that oil prices continue to back away from those Katrina highs. Now they're coming down more slowly than they went up, so I don't think this is more than a normal backing away from the high in a consolidation before we get another go on the upside, but that remains to be seen. But the fact is, for the markets today, the crude oil is trading at $66 as I speak. That's down 106. And therefore, that has really taken the pressure off investors who were looking down at the possibility of another oil crisis in here. And that's certainly averted, at least in the short term. So that's bullish for stock markets, which I suspect are going to continue to rally from their recent reaction lows. Now, the recent reaction lows become important as levels to monitor in here. As long as stock market indices stay above, for instance, the reaction lows that we saw this week, then or last week, then whichever is lower, then we don't really need to masochistically join the wall of worry. We just need to stay alert, and that's my policy. Now, the metals, this is the big story on the day. The metals just have gone gangbusters here. We've got terrific gains across the board, and the biggest gains are in the industrial metals. They've just raced ahead. Now, this is very positive, needless to say, for the mining shares. And I maintain, as we have seen the eminent Donald Cox say on many occasions as well, that the market really isn't valuing these mining companies properly. And they're still of the mindset that this is a cyclical move rather than the secular trend. And I'm going to repeat this point, not in this today's audio, but I've said it many times before, and in comment of the day, this story is all about supply inelasticity meets rising demand. And the supply inelasticity side is persisting despite the mouthwateringly high prices for many mining companies, because their costs of developing and opening new mines have soared along with the metal prices. There's a shortage of mining engineers and miners. These people are the software writers of 1999. Remember when we were having all the Y2K paranoia? So scarcity of workers, costs are pushing up in the sector, then there are the environmental considerations, then let's, how to put it tactfully, most people in the mining industry are not exactly in the first blush of youth. So this is delaying increases in production, and that's likely to, well, production will increase, that's for sure, but it's going to increase more slowly than the demand is increasing. And the demand, of course, is coming from all the countries that were previously consuming these metals, plus the huge increase in demand coming from the developing economies led by China and India. So this is a phenomenal secular bull story, and if you think I might be getting carried away, as some may, and let's just have a look at that point and figure chart of copper that I put up, and you can just see that massive base formation. So I am happy to remain long there, and I actually increased my long, speculative long in the Merrill Lynch World Mining Trust by 12.5% in here today, taking another baby steps bite because I was able to raise stops on most of my other positions in that, and we'll let it run. Trickier situation is how to play. Well, I also raised a stop in copper, surged through to a new high in here today. How many times over the last 2.5 years or so have you read some report saying sell copper, sell metals? Well, look at the chart. It's about as consistent as it gets. Now, that will end when we see the inconsistencies. It'll go into another medium-term correction. And the last medium-term correction, the duration of these, incidentally, is usually relative to the extent of the prior move on the upside. Bigger the move on the upside, not surprisingly, the more lengthy many of the corrections within a secular trend are going to be. Gets too far ahead of itself in the short term, and then you get a sharp reaction, and that frightens everybody, and then gets a long convalescence. And I think we had at least 18 months in copper's last medium-term consolidation following an upward acceleration, and that convalescence, while it was quite choppy and difficult to deal with at the time, you look at it on the chart that I posted today and you can see that it's ranging with an upward bias, so it certainly wasn't a rout for anyone who was holding long positions. And the thing about the move that we're seeing in copper today is that it's not actually accelerating. It's a very persistent move, but just look at that point and figure chart. It's a classic example of where point and figure can be so useful in showing the consistency of the medium-term trend that is currently taking place. I won't tell you what those consistency components are because you'll be able to identify them yourself, even if you're relatively new, and if not, ask me. And some interesting emails, incidentally, today, which I'm very grateful for. Some really intelligent emails, and some rather generous praise. Now, I'm wondering how to play the precious metals this time around. You know, I've got long positions, but I'm not aggressively long, and I currently hold palladium, silver, and gold. At times past, such as last autumn, beginning of the year, I had much, or when did I lighten? I can't remember. I think it was probably in December. I had much, much bigger long positions than I currently have. And one of the reasons why they've been a little lighter recently is because we were up near highs. We have seen good gains in recent months. There was some quite volatile to-ing and fro-ing. And there was an intelligent email yesterday about this from somebody who got out of the metals, feeling more bearish about them than I did. Well, today we're getting a number of breaks on the upside in this sector. Certainly silver, at least silver and platinum are doing that. Now, that's a very good signal, provided it holds. So I would hope to see some follow-through this week on the upside, or at least not falling very far back into the underlying trading ranges. Now, I don't normally like to use stops in silver, as you know, which can be so choppy. I've tended to use my baby steps tactic. But I'll have to reassess following this breakout. I may just put in the money stops, which is never a foolish discipline, although it can be a profit reducer in a choppy market. But at least you can't get sandbagged with that type of strategy. And if they look like they're going to trend again consistently, I may well leverage up a bit, but I would do it very, very gradually rather than take big risks in the event that we suddenly saw a quick reversal. But it, needless to say, this remains a very interesting sector, and I'm glad to be involved. And we also saw some pretty good gains in a number of the soft commodities today. I suspect that probably owed more to the strength that we're seeing in the metals. Now, I did say that I was going to comment on why, or discuss the situation as to why these industrial metals are so very strong right now. What is the strength that we're seeing in here in the very short term? They've been strong, as you know, for the last 3 years or more. But what is it telling us in here right now? Now, this is an open question, and I'm thinking out loud, but here are some thoughts on this. One, it tells me that there were shorts in the market, and those people are being forced to cover. Why would there be shorts in the market? Because so many people have been saying that they were going to come down. And two, second point, it says to me that the consumers of these metals, in other words, the companies that need these metals for their manufacturing, didn't believe the rise and are still using a just-in-time inventory policy. Now, that works fine when you have big contangos and a secular bear market. In other words, if you don't hold an inventory in a falling market, you only order a few days ahead, giving rise to the just-in-time description of that policy. But if you go back to the 1970s and a little bit of the 1980s, when we did have backwardations in many of these metals, and they were certainly in secular bull markets, in that type of environment, the smarter consumers of these metals build up their inventories. And so I think we're seeing a scramble here for the materials that they actually need. Now, we could also say that a number of hedge funds, perhaps, possibly, and this is pure conjecture on my part, but the stock markets had roiled them in the last fortnight or so. So, you know, Japan's not the hot story that it was, kind of thinking, and so they rotate back into this mining sector, which has been so rewarding for most of the last 3 years or more. Now, the shares are lagging, despite their very, very strong performances, and they had good gains in here today, but they're still conservatively rated. I mean, in my view, industrial resources shares are the glamour shares of this cycle. And this cycle is going to last a long time, in my view. So, you know, why are the shares lagging? Well, my conclusion, investment managers just don't believe that metals can hold these prices. Well, we will see. I think that the prices will often be volatile. Yes, we'll get some sharp reactions and medium-term corrections, but within secular uptrends. And then lastly, though, there is a risk with some of these mines, and I'd be interested in any feedback that informed analysts have or informed observers of the mining scene have. The danger will be if the mining companies themselves have hedged production, and they would do this mainly by shorting futures if they felt that metal prices were going to be declining. And that would be a problem because, of course, it would limit profit potential. It was the sort of thing that the gold mines did for years and years and years, and reasonably successfully, except investment managers then pointed out that the policy of hedging was actually depressing the price of the metal that they needed to go up for their shares and funds to perform. So we want to watch out for that. If there are any clear examples of mining companies that are aggressive hedgers here in these metal markets, well, I for one would not want to hold those shares. I'd rather hold some of the ones that were unhedged. Okay, that's it, folks. Exciting times in here. All the best to all of you.